Welcome to Fold in the Cheese, the recipe for fantasy football success. We are your hosts, two average dudes, watched a lot of football, played a lot of fantasy football, and our wives told us to get real jobs.
And we said pass. We would much rather talk about football instead, so here we are. This is a podcast for those who are just starting in the fantasy football. We want to bring some knowledge to help you get started. We'll be here along with you on the whole journey throughout the season, checking in with players and seeing who we should sit, who we should start, all that fun stuff. And for those who are a little more advanced, don't worry, we got some stuff for you too.
Yeah, so if you're a casual fantasy player and you're tired of not winning, we're going to change that for you. If you never played before and you feel like, hey, I think I'd like to play this and I think I'd like to win my first time through, we're here for you too. Let's make this happen. Get some W's.
Let's get it. All right, let's get this going. This episode, we're going to be talking a little bit about daily fantasy sports playing and also talking about sports books and placing bets on NFL games. We're going to be looking at week one of the NFL's action and seeing what looks like some good bets that are going to be paying out, the smarter ones, potential riskier bets, and how to do all that stuff. There's a lot involved. We're going to kind of break it down and make it easier for you to see how you can do it. Today I am flying solo. Chandler is here all by himself with Joey's out probably walking the ducks and the chickens. And you may be thinking to yourself, these guys are only a couple episodes in and already we have a solo episode. What is going on? Could I be anymore by myself? But don't worry, we still have some great content and we're going to go through a lot of things as we prepare for this first week in the NFL season. So let's get it going. The first thing I'm going to be talking about here is talking about daily fantasy sports and how to play. If you have ever done this before, or even if you haven't, there are a lot of different sites out there, but two of the most prominent and probably the best ones to do or get started with are DraftKings and FanDuel. What these sites are trying to do is capitalize on all the fun and excitement that fantasy sports brings, and in a way makes it less of a commitment. So as opposed to when we talked about in the first couple episodes of how you draft a team and you're with that team throughout the season, this is a little different because basically you are choosing your lineups per week. Doesn't matter who you had the week before, you can have an all new lineup of the same players, different players. It all depends on what your choices are and what you think is going to be the best bet for that week. So that makes it a little different. And so one of the things to pay attention to is that both sites have the same roster construction for standard matchups. And that roster construction consists of a quarterback, two running backs, three wide receivers, one tight end, one flex, which again can be either a running back, a wide receiver, or another tight end. And there's also a spot for a defense / special teams. All those players in position are going to be earning you points for that week in your lineup. What also makes daily fantasy sports a little different is that you are kind of playing with funny money in a sense. Basically, when you look at DraftKings, for example, they're going to give you a quote-unquote $50,000 salary cap, which comes out to an average of about $5,555 per player. Now, just to be sure you didn't have a heart attack, you are not using real money. You are not investing $50,000. This is just, as I said, funny money that you use to spend on players and set your lineup. As I mentioned, DraftKings has a $50,000 salary cap, whereas FanDuel actually has a $60,000 salary cap, which comes out to about $6,667 as an average per player. Pricing is obviously a little bit different for each site, but it's not necessarily proportionate. For example, if you were going on to DraftKings and you wanted to, say, put Patrick Mahomes on your team, he would cost you $8,100, which comes out to about 16% of your total budget. However, if you go to FanDuel, his cost to be in your lineup that week is $8,800, which comes out to about 14.5% of your budget. So technically, if you were to compare the two sites, it's actually a better deal for Mahomes on FanDuel. It's all going to be in the distribution of that budget and how you can get the most value of your players. You don't have to spend your entire budget, but more than likely, you will probably end up coming close to the total amount anyway, based on what's available, based on who you think is a steal, who's undervalued, overvalued. But again, most of the time you're going to come close to that budget if not using all of it. Now that you've kind of got the general idea of how the daily fantasy playing works, just so you know, there are different game types that you can participate in. Now keep in mind, you are always going to be setting that lineup per week. But with the different game types, it kind of adds a different wrinkle, a different way that you can get involved, keep up the excitement level, or just if you have a different format that you enjoy over others. So one of the formats is called a tournament. And yes, I said tournament weird. I'm from Boston. People think that sounds funny, but tournament doesn't sound right to me. It's spelled T-O-U-R, tour. Anyway, I digress. So in a tournament, you are entering your lineup into a pool with a ton of different other people. The goal of this is to see how you stack up against a mass amount of entries, and there can be big prizes at the end. If you come in first, you can get a whole huge pot. So that's a tournament. Something called head-to-head, and you can enter a head-to-head matchup with friends, or it could be with people you don't know, and it can be as few as two people. And in that case, you're going to be setting a lineup and seeing how that lineup stacks up against your opponent that week. This is very similar to how standard fantasy football works with a head-to-head matchup. If my team's going against yours, just mano a mano, team against team, you want to see who can accumulate the most fantasy points that week. It's as simple as that. There may not be as many big payouts in these head-to-head matchups, but at the same time, there's probably a little bit less risk, limited downside, but that ceiling may not be as high. After head-to-head, there's something called a 50-50 tournament. And in this case, you are pitting your lineup against a pool of people. And in that pool, the top 50% of players will win while the bottom half loses. So to put that into very simple terms, if your team scores in the top 50% of all the people entered in the tournament, you come out ahead. If unfortunately your team does not score the amount of points needed to finish in the top 50%, then you will lose. There's also something called double ups, and this is a tournament where less than half of the contestants will double their money while the rest lose it all. So basically you can get a chance for a bigger payout, however, it's not as safe of a bet as the 50-50 tournament because it's not split down the line. It's all about your comfort level and how much you want to bet, how much risk you want to take, but again, higher the risk, the higher the reward. And finally, one last game type is something called the multiplier. And in this case, only a small percentage of top scorers take the whole pot, multiplying their buy-in. As you can see, as you get into these different formats, it's all about odds and increasing your payout, but decreasing your chance of necessarily covering the bet you put in the beginning. So it's all about your comfort level and seeing how much you want to put in, how much you want to risk, and getting that big payout or potentially losing it all. So now that you have all of these different formats of what you want to play and how you want to play it, you want to talk about strategy. For all intents and purposes, we're going to be talking about using DraftKings just so we can kind of stay focused on one site and keep it consistent throughout this conversation. So looking at DraftKings, you have $50,000 to play with to draft your team. And it may not seem like it, but that $50,000 is going to disappear real quick. For example, as we talked about a little bit earlier, Patrick Mahomes is going for around just over $8,000. So if you were to use him, boom, you're down to $42,000 left in your budget. You still have to get eight players to spend and only have $42,000 to use it with. So it takes a little bit of planning to figure out what is the most optimal lineup. But once again, even with that, there are different philosophies or different approaches you could take. Do you want to go with getting a few studs like Patrick Mahomes, DeAndre Hopkins, Calvin Ridley, but then you know you're going to be using a lot of your money, so then you'd have to also put in some scrubs in your lineup. Maybe just kind of guess who might have a big week, some sleeper picks that people aren't really thinking about and just kind of hope they land. Another philosophy you might want to take is kind of staying away from those top-level players, those really expensive ones, and just kind of go all mid-range across the board to fill your lineup. You know, in this case, you're not necessarily having to play any scrubs, and you can avoid those big price tags, but at the same time, you're not getting those top tier players that are expected to do big things week in and week out. So with all this being said, you want to wait until mid-week to set your lineup. The prices for each player locks in on Monday, but they don't always account for injuries. So for example, sometimes a backup running back will cost around $4,000, $5,000, but suddenly that same backup running back might be thrust into the starting position because of injuries that might have happened to the starter, suspensions, COVID, whatever it may be. And now that backup running back whose cost is only $4,500 is now a starter, and a starter can typically go from anywhere to $6,000 to $8,000, even $9,000. So all of a sudden your backup running back is a steal and a bargain because he is at a backup running back price, but also playing as a starter. Make sure you're waiting until midweek to set those lineups because you might see some of those changes happen in there. Don't forget, you do still have to do a team defense. Typically, this is a position where we try not to use as much money up in our budget as possible just because when picking team defense, they can be so hard to predict. And honestly, the the range from the top ranked defense that week to the mid range or even lowest, it's not worth the price gap. So just look for the best matchups week to week and use your best guess. But again, don't spend too much money on a team defense. The overall payout is just not going to be worth it. After you're done combing through the bargain bin of team defenses, one place to really we like to find value is at QB. There are so many good QBs this year, and there are so many different levels of them when it comes to how much they cost. You have to ask yourself the question, is it worth spending $8,000 on a Patrick Mahomes, or should I look to maybe spend anywhere between $5,000 and $6,000 on a mid-level quarterback and see if they have a great matchup that week? Let's be honest, I am going to be looking for any quarterback that is playing the Falcons defense. Know that it is also possible to post multiple lineups to tournaments, in this case altering one player at a time to maximize your chance of success. To put it in perspective, think of March Madness. How many brackets do people fill out to find that one path to get the ultimate victory? It is definitely important that you pay attention to the matchups of each team each week, because there may be a game where you think, oh my gosh, there could be a shootout in this game, so I might want to load up on a couple players that are playing. For example, a couple of years ago, somebody won the Millionaire Maker tournament by loading up on the New York Giants-New Orleans game. They had a few players from each team, and that game ended up being a shootout, so that player just loaded up on the fantasy points. So for example, if you look at week one this year, Minnesota versus Cincinnati or Tennessee versus Arizona this week could be shootouts. These games showcase some great offensive weapons with some also not so great defenses. So let's take a look at Tennessee and Arizona. In this game alone, you have offensive weapons of Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, Chase Edmonds, DeAndre Hopkins, AJ Brown, Julio Jones, and Rondale Moore, just to name a few. If you want to look at the Minnesota-Cincinnati game, you got weapons like Joe Burrow, Dalvin Cook, Joe Mixon, Justin Jefferson, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, just all those names combined in two games, that is a lot of offense, a lot of points are going to be put on the board. So it might be something to take a look at, loading up on players from either of these two games. Okay, now taking all of that into consideration, let's take a look at Kemper and Mine's lineups for week one, playing some daily fantasy football. We're going to start off with Kemper. His quarterback, he loves him. He used to live in Atlanta with him. His quarterback is Matt Ryan, and he is super excited about him. His running backs are Antonio Gibson from the Washington football team and Raheem Mostert from the 49ers. Starting at wide receiver, we already mentioned his name in this Arizona game, is DeAndre Hopkins. He's also got CeeDee Lamb of the Cowboys and Calvin Ridley from the Falcons. Again, it's that Matt Ryan Atlanta Falcon hookup. His tight end, he's got Logan Thomas. His flex is Marquez Callaway. Again, there he went with a little bit of a sleeper who could have a huge week, but you know, didn't cost that much to put in that lineup. And for his defense, he's got the Baltimore Ravens. It's a good lineup. He's definitely got some star power, and then he's got a couple sleepers in there that he hopes are going to pay it out big. All right, now moving on to my team. Ironically enough, keep this in mind. We did not know each other's lineups. We did not know what the other person was putting in. So also a quarterback, I too have Matt Ryan. He's going to be amazing. He's actually one of my season-long bets, which we will get into later. Starting at running backs, I've got James Robinson from the Jags, and also I got Miles Sanders from the Eagles. Going on to my wide receivers, I've got Tyler Lockett from the Seahawks, Chris Godwin from my Tom Brady-led Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and T. Higgins from the Bengals. Rounding it out for my tight end, I've got Tyler Higbee from the Rams. My flex is Keenan Allen from the Chargers. And for my defense, I've got the Jacksonville Jaguars, who I know, kind of weird, surprising pick. They were terrible last year. But they are also playing the Houston Texans, who are going to be dreadful this season. So there's how Kemp and I spent our $50,000 this week. We will see who is the winner of this epic head-to-head matchup after all the games finish after Monday night. Okay, now we're going to switch topics a little bit and start to talk about the sports book. So we talked a little bit about daily fantasy playing and how you can do some bets with that, doing head-to-head matchups, setting your lineups for tournaments. But now we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of dealing with sports book. So again, we kind of like the DraftKings sports book. We like the interface, how it looks, and the simplicity of making bets. But of course, there's also FanDuel Sportsbook, and then there's BetMGM, and we all know who the spokesman for that is. The one and only Jamie Foxx. So, but yes, there are plenty of others, but those are kind of the main ones that you will be seeing. So for beginners, we're mostly going to be looking at spreads, at money lines, and over-unders. And for now, since we are just getting in as a beginner, we would not recommend in-game betting. It's very complicated, it's easy to get lost in, and for now, we're just going to kind of steer away from it. When dealing with sportsbooks, know that there are all types of bets you can make. You can make bets week per week, making bets on certain teams, certain players, but also know that there are kinds of prop bet and future bets. You know, future meaning who's going to win the Super Bowl? Who do you think might win MVP? Who's going to win a certain division? Which player might have the most rushing yards, passing yards, receiving yards, etc.? So know that you can make season-long bets as long with week-to-week, game-to-game bets as well. So for now, we're kind of going to talk about looking at money lines and looking at over-unders and, you know, those numbers, the plus 100, minus 100, and all what that kind of means. So first, we're going to start with the plus 100 and the minus numbers as well. So what does plus 100 or plus 350 mean? For a plus 100 bet, if you bet $100, you will win $100 for a total of $200. So if you bet $10, you will win an additional $10 as well for your total of $20. So now let's look at plus 350. For a plus 350 bet, if you bet $100, you will win 350 more for a total of 450. In general, when looking at these plus or minus numbers, it is usually in terms of a $100 bet. So moving on, what does a minus $110 bet mean? So that means in order to win $100, you would have to bet 110, which would then bring you to a total of 210 if you were to win. If you bet $100, you would technically only win $90.91. You'll see the minus numbers when it comes to favorites in a matchup. For example, if you were to look at the lineups last year, the Kansas City Chiefs were a great team all of last year, so they were favored in a lot of games. If they were going to be playing the Jacksonville Jaguars, who were one of the worst teams in the league last year, they were going to be favored. So in that case, they would have a negative number associated with them. Again, that does not mean you're not going to win money. It just means if you bet $100, you are not going to win $100. We can't stress enough that you cannot lose money in a bet if your team wins. That is the common misconception. Now we're going to get to talking about something that's called a parlay, which is combining two or more bets to multiply your odds. Remember, as we talked about, when talking about a favorite in a game, you will more than likely see negative odds because they're expected to win, so your payout is not going to be as good. However, if you combine three favorites in one bet, which is called a parlay, you can actually end up with plus odds. So for example, this week in week one in the NFL, Kansas City is favored over Cleveland at minus 275, Green Bay is favored over New Orleans at minus 200, and the Los Angeles Rams are favored over Chicago at minus 425, which are the three biggest favorites this week. Now, each of those has negative odds to win outright. However, when you parlay all three of these bets together, your odds go to plus 152, which means a $100 bet would win $252 total if Kansas City, Green Bay, and the LA Rams all win their games. However, if any of these teams loses, you lose the parlay altogether. So just know that while making a parlay, you can end up with positive odds. It is a much harder bet to win because it takes multiple games and you have to win each part of that parlay bet. All right, now looking at betting overall, unlike at a horse track, all odds lock in at whatever you placed your bet at. So even if the spread changes throughout the week, you get the payout that you locked in at, whether even if there was a major injury, weather issues, COVID, etc. So a Super Bowl winner bet this early in the season can pay off big, but the odds will change all year long. So for example, the Kansas City Chiefs are the current favorite to win the Super Bowl at plus 500, with Tampa Bay coming in second at plus 600. You could bet those two today, and if everything plays out like it should, you've got free money. But as the saying goes, it's the NFL, and on any given Sunday, any team can beat any other team. All right, now let's take a look at our picks for week one in the NFL. Right now, we like Dallas at plus 8.5 versus Tampa Bay, Seattle at minus 2.5 versus the Colts, and the Minnesota Vikings-Cincinnati Bengals game over the 47.5 total point line. We'd like to see a parlay bet of the 49ers money line at minus 365 and the Packers money line at minus 200, as well as the Broncos money line at minus 160 to get your odds boosted to plus 210. One final thing we want to make note of is that the DraftKings Sportsbook has a great promotion called the No-Brainer Bet. It's basically free money. This week, the no-brainer is Tampa Bay plus 73 points versus Dallas. Now, what this means is that you will win as long as Tampa Bay wins outright or loses by less than 73 points. It is easy, free money. It's a great promotion to get people introduced to the world of sports betting, and it just gets you excited about watching these games. This has been Chandler in his first solo outing, but don't worry, Joe will be back on our next episode. So until then, keep folding that cheese.